Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The opening lines of the Old Testament lesson today from Lamentations are among the most well-known of verses from that particular book. I want to read a portion of them again. I want you to listen. You can read along if you'd like, but I'd like you to listen to this and let these words wash over you. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, I say to myself. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Beautiful words. Beautiful words of comfort and hope and encouragement. One of the central words there is compassion. It stands out, I think, because compassion is something we all know that we need. We long for compassion. We know our sinfulness, our failings, and all the things that make us such unlovable people, that when someone offers us compassion, we're drawn to it like a man in the desert is drawn to water. Knowing from the reading that God has compassion for us, and that it's fresh and new each day, each moment of every day, is like fresh water for our souls. And God, in his compassion, cares for each one of us and our very individual need of forgiveness and grace. One cold morning during the holidays, a little boy of about 6 or 7 was standing in front of a store window. He had no shoes, and his clothes were rather ragged. A young woman saw the little boy and could see the longing in his eyes as he looked through the window. So she took the child by the hand and led him into the store. There she bought him some new shoes and warm clothing. As they left, the little boy looked up at her and asked, "Ma'am, are you God?" She smiled down at him and replied, "No, I'm just one of his children." The boy smiled back and said, "I knew you had to be some relation." God's love and compassion shone through the actions of that young woman, so much so that the little boy saw God in her. By the compassion she showed that child, he saw her relationship with God. And God, in his compassion, shows us, you and I, in the cross of Christ, his care for us. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again to new life for us, God was clothing us with the robe of Christ's righteousness. And the clothes of his righteousness cover our sinful and ragged lives. In our baptism, that's what's poured out on us, the robe of Christ's righteousness. We're never again without the clothing that we need to be in the holy presence of God. In the death of Jesus and his triumphant resurrection, God pours out into us all that we need for life now and here, and for life eternal there. And the compassion he shows to us, we, like that young woman, we pass that on, his compassion, to others as well. Now, in the New Testament lesson today, we see God's compassion expressed by the churches that Paul talks about. Listen again to what they did and why. And now, brothers, Paul says, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Out of compassion, out of the compassion showed to the Macedonians by Christ, they in turn showed compassion through their giving generously to others who they knew to be in need. They gave to help fellow Christians, and they gave, according to Paul, beyond their ability. What is that? That is, they gave sacrificially. They gave because they were shown such sacrificial mercy through the compassion of our God in Christ's salvation and crucifixion. They knew the need of others was great, and so they showed great compassion through sacrificial giving. That's just what God in Christ had done for the Macedonians. And what God has done for us all. He gave the sacrifice of His Son out of His love for all of His creation. As Paul also said in that lesson regarding Christ's compassionate sacrifice, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. So that you through His poverty might become rich. The richness and fullness of the righteousness of God is what we are given. We're given by grace through faith alone. And that is what strengthens us and enriches us to be able to give as we have been given to. How? Sacrificially. The compassion of God that's given to us is what we in turn give away. We do so, as God said through Paul here, we give in rich generosity. Now, the Macedonians gave their offerings to help fellow Christians in their need. Truly sacrificial giving and sacrificial service cannot coexist with bitter doses of complaining and reluctance. If a child obeys a parent with anger or reluctance in their heart or on their face, that parent's heart is far from being glad at such unwilling obedience. Our Heavenly Father desires service and obedience that come from a grateful and willing heart. Complaining and critical spirits are unworthy of the children of God. And one of the best ways to head off such a cancer is to set an example of glad and willing sacrificial service for our neighbor and to our Lord's church. Can you imagine the spirit of generosity that grew in that little boy with the new shoes and the new clothes? That's something that we can do for each other here. And in Bolivar, think of community outreach ministries and their need. Think of Alpha House and their needs. Christ has first generously served us. And that rejiggers our attitudes about being generous and living the gospel. Such an outward focus helps us to see how God generously provides for our congregation and for each of us, and how He continues to provide for us. Such a positive attitude can be contagious and it can spread. That's what Paul was doing by telling the Corinthians what the Macedonians had done. Paul was fostering a positive spirit of compassion and of giving. And that's what God, through Christ's compassion, gives to all who will receive what he brings: comfort and peace, wholeness and healing. Now, what's our mission statement here? Right, right. We do that with the love and the compassion of Christ, just as the Macedonians did with their sacrificial giving. We give of our riches, our time, and our efforts not to gain anything for ourselves, but we give as God enables us. And we do this as he has first given to us in the compassion of Jesus, again, that's shown to us in the cross. He died there for us. And as Paul said, Jesus took on our sinful poverty and in exchange made us wealthy by his riches that are given to us by his grace alone. Jesus' compassion was also clearly shown in the gospel lesson today. And he showed it to two daughters. Remember that the synagogue leader, Jairus, came to ask Jesus to come and heal his 12-year-old daughter who was still dying at home. And as Jesus went there, the woman with the 12-year flow of blood was healed just by touching the hem of Jesus' robe. Think about that for a moment. 12 years. 12 years old. 12 years long. That's as long as Jairus' daughter was old. Did you catch what Jesus said to the woman after all the fuss and commotion was made to discover who it was that had touched him in faith? "Daughter," he said, "daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Jesus, on the way to help one man's daughter, took the time to help yet another daughter, a daughter of his own creation. Jesus didn't let showing compassion to one person prevent him from showing compassion to yet another. And indeed, Jesus did reach Jairus' house. And like he does at all the funerals we see Jesus attend, he breaks it up with life. Jesus brings life, like we talked about with the kids. Jesus brings life back to Jairus' daughter. Now that's quite a calling card. It's quite a calling card that reveals the true purpose of Jesus coming to earth. Jesus came in the richness of God's love to show compassion to a sick and dying world. Jesus came to bring life to the world. God promises that we can trust him for new life in Christ. Now, for example, giving us the name of the synagogue ruler, that's important because it helps us to learn yet again to trust God. Jairus or his daughter back then could still be tracked down, and people could learn the truthfulness of this account. It's God showing us that we can trust his compassion. We are so fearful of being taken in and hurt. That's what happened to us in Genesis. We put our trust in someone other than God and we were betrayed. So we learned not to trust. But here in this story today, God says, "Check out my story. I am the only one who can be trusted." Trusting the words of Satan over God, it's still our curse today. It's what pulls us into fear and doubt. Trust, we all know, has to be earned. Why? Well, because we violated trust in the garden. God trusted us, and we betrayed that trust. Now, we trust no one because the evil one we listened to also betrayed us. So, this detail of Jairus' name and his daughter and her age, these details are God teaching us to trust Him for even the details of our life. He reveals that He alone is trustworthy in Jesus' words and works. And we trust Him. We trust Him alone to grant us new life. Jesus brings God's compassion to everyone in this world. But Jesus won't go where He's refused entry. He went to Jairus' house because He goes where He's needed. But He won't go where He is rejected or not trusted. Many choose not to believe Him. They are blinded to the compassion of God. It's like if you fly over northern Arizona at night, the darkness will obscure and blind you to the massive beauty of the Grand Canyon. So also the darkness of sin and mistrust. The darkness of sin and mistrust blinds people to God's massive love and compassion for His whole creation. That's why Jesus had to come, to die on the cross, and to rise again, to bring to light the love and compassion of God. And that's what we offer to others. The only thing of value that we have, is the blood of Christ shed for you. That's what we'll hear when we come to take communion this morning. We'll hear that Jesus' body and His blood are given for you. You are made rich here. In Christ, by His sacrifice for you. We take that word of hope and light to those around us who are still in fear and sin, to those looking with longing through the window as that little boy, and with trust in the generosity of God, we share with them what has first been given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. The richness of God's grace and the compassion of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen.